Welcome to the Sourcing Hero podcast, produced by UNA, a group purchasing organization that empowers sourcing heroes, and Art of Procurement, the world's largest procurement podcast network. I'm your host, Kelly Barner. The goal of the Sourcing Hero podcast is to capture the epic stories of people who are rising up and beating the odds to create exceptional value within procurement, directly from those heroes themselves. Today, my guest here on the Sourcing Hero podcast is Alex Ball. Alex has spent most of his career in marketing and demand gen, helping companies connect with and engage their target personas. He has also had the opportunity to work with procurement and has seen some ways that his marketing knowledge can be applied inside of companies to increase procurement's influence, something that we have long wanted to do. So, hi, Alex. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Hi, Kelly. Thanks for having me. It's great to see you as always.
Now, I talked a little bit about your area of professional focus in my intro, but what else do you find that it's helpful for people to know about your professional journey?
Yeah. You know, so I've spent as you said, the majority of my career in the marketing space, and I've done a variety of things within that space, including, you know, I kind of cut my teeth in the trade show space was where I started out, which I think inadvertently ended up being a great, you know, starting point for the career, because in that world, you're kind of planning a larger, longer term strategy, which I think kind of helped prepare me for later stages of my career. But I've done everything from running trade shows to digital marketing to marketing operations and kind of everything in between, and have done it in multiple industries. And as you said, I've gotten to, you know, work a little bit with the sourcing and procurement space and gotten to know that world a little bit as well. So it's been a fun ride.
Now, as we think about marketing, and I know for me, I've never worked in marketing, so a lot of my exposure to marketing is as a consumer, mm-hmm. but you can still sort of recognize that effective marketing is about having a good story and doing a good job telling it.
Yeah.
How have you seen that play out?
You know, I think storytelling is the underlying thing that is most important in marketing without a question, right? I think people sometimes get lost in the snappy tagline or the memorable commercial or all of those things. But, you know, when I start thinking about marketing in a story format, there's kind of a couple of formulas I like to think of that kind of fall underneath that, right? You know, one is I'm a big fan of the Simon Sinek why, how, what model, which is people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it first, right? So when you start thinking why, you know, I worked for a tech company a handful of years ago where I got introduced to this model by, without question, the smartest creative mind I ever worked with. And, you know, we talked about things in that vein, right? We started with why we existed, what was our mission, our vision. Then we talked about how we were going to accomplish it. And then we talked about what we actually did, which was more the first time we got into the whole story about our software and our technology and all of those things. And what we found was people started to really grasp our purpose. And stories are more memorable too, right? And when you break things down into a story, it gets out of like the techie side of things and the nuts and bolts. Like, not everybody's going to know what the ins and outs of a tool are, but they will remember that story behind what the tool is.
And I think procurement may not naturally have that skill set, but we've certainly felt what happens when you don't use storytelling. You know, we're so data driven that a lot of times a question, whether it's from a supplier, an executive, a stakeholder, they'll ask us this question and the answer is 12, which might be accurate, but is not, I don't know, it's not memorable. It doesn't have that emotional connection. And based on the commercials I watch on TV, if you can have some sort of emotional connection to most of the products being sold on TV these days, then I think it's within reason to have emotional connection to the work that procurement does. What is it that we, I mean, the numbers are important, the data is important, but what do we need to wrap that information in to actually make a lasting impact when we share it?
You know, I think it's there's one of my favorite things to do is just ask the question, why? Right. So I had somebody really smart in my career one time say, if you ask the question why five times to every answer, you'll eventually get the real answer. So in the example you used, you said the answer is 12. Okay, so why is the answer 12? Why does that matter? Why does that matter? Why does that matter? Why does that matter? And when you do that on the back end, you're too late, right? But if you start telling that story on the front end and lead with, you know, like as a marketer, you know, I may go into a boardroom or an executive room and say, hey, we ran this campaign. Here's why we ran it.
Yeah.
Here's what we did to accomplish the why. And here's how, you know, excuse me, why, how, and then what, right? Here's how we went about it. Here's what we did specifically. And then here were the results. By leading with that story, you get to why 12 matters, right? So yeah. It's a lot of times it's not a matter of not doing something that's out of your comfort zone. It's just a matter of the order of operations with which you tell that story, right? Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. And I have to think it also becomes a part of it. Who are you telling the story to and what do you know about them? So if you know you're telling the story to, I don't know, a very engaged stakeholder or an executive that has been a big proponent for procurement's impact versus I'm going to tell this story to somebody who I either don't know mm-hmm. or is a skeptic. Yeah. If we're backing up and starting to think about, certainly the answer is still 12, but we're thinking about that story right from the outset. Mm-hmm. Do we prepare differently to communicate that message if we either don't know a lot about or even know we're going to get some pushback from our audience?
You know, absolutely. I think the golden rule of marketing is know your audience, right? And I think that applies to just about anything, right? And it starts with kind of understanding your audience's why, right? If you're a procurement leader going in and sharing results with, you know, marketing versus, you know, engineering, you're talking to two very different mindsets,
absolutely,
very different groups that have very different cares in the world, right? So you need to be prepared to position your story according to what is most important for them, right? And, you know, one of the ways I like to think about this is whenever I'm putting together, you know, marketing materials, you know, I'm trying to think through, like, with what I'm working on right now, what is it that I want the person to take away from this? What do I emotionally want them to feel? And then what do I want them to do about it, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there could be a lot of different ways to go about that. But if I'm sitting in procurement space and I want a department to get more engaged with us, for example, right? You know, I want to try to tell a story that makes them think, hey, this is a group that could help me. I'm busy and they could do a lot of this better and I can allocate my time elsewhere. Maybe that feeling is some FOMO, right? FOMO yeah. makes people act, right? So if you can weave in a, hey, Mr. Marketer, Mrs. Marketer, we were spending our time, we worked with another department, helped them accomplish A, B, C, and D. Now I'm thinking, man, I'm missing out. And then I'm starting to position in my brain, oh, I'm going to have to explain to my leadership why I'm missing out. I'm going to have to do all these things, right? So of course, correct, right? And yeah. then tell them what they want, what, you know, then the do element, right? Is leave them with some kind of action to know or to take, right? So if you can kind of position things in a little bit of think, feel, do based on what yeah. their need is, right? You can make some major adjustments in how you work with different groups or how you tell your story.
Yeah. And when I think about going out in practice to do this, in my mind, I sort of imagine one-on-one, maybe me in a Zoom meeting or me in a conference room, but that's relatively limited in terms of the scale of reach we can have. It's important. Those connections are important. And maybe that's how we try out our storytelling and our messaging. But I would think that a lot of companies probably even have existing channels in place that procurement can do to start telling that story, laying the groundwork, building a little bit of brand awareness for procurement internally that we're not leveraging. What might be some examples of those things that we should find out if our company has?
You know, that's a great question, to be honest. And I think it's a great way to look at it and to take, I like to consider myself an opportunistic marketer. And I think you've just pulled out an opportunistic way to position yourself. You know, I think that the underlying thing I would share here is before you look at where to go, I think you hit on something, Kelly, that's really important is being proactive in telling your story. Right. Look to tell your story, especially in today's world. But, you know, I think there's a lot of different capabilities a lot of companies will have. Right. You'll have your intranet. You'll have your, you know, monthly company newsletters. You also may have screens throughout your offices that, you know, you can go and ask your team that runs that to put up, you know, some slides and some materials that tell your story, tell successes. Right. We get into yeah. stories. If you've worked with a group, help them solve 10 contract issues that saved hours of time and giant amounts of money. Tell that story that way, right? That's important. You know, I think beyond just looking at it though, from the context of where and how, it's again, coming back to that what, right? And not being afraid, being proactive to do those things, because procurement has an opportunity to make a massive impact on the business. And a lot of people don't realize that, right? A lot doesn't, as a marketer, I never sat back and went, you know, who could help me today is procurement. But
don't worry, nobody else ever thought that either.
The reality is, every time, but I'm wrong, right? When I'm thinking about that in the context of, like, you know, just not being part of the thought, right? So you need to make sure you're part of the thought. And I think the way you outlined that is a great way to say it.
And I don't know why this is. I mean, it's always a danger to generalize, but I've walked this walk. Procurement is terrible at telling our own story. We are terrible at self-promoting, even when it's not promotional. I mean, you don't have to be P.T. Barnum to get the word out. And it's, I don't know if it's about our personality or if we think we're supposed to be understated or we're worried about attracting attention, but we're absolutely dreadful at promoting ourselves and our impact. Is that something that is inadvertently maybe having a negative impact on our relationships and our opportunity for influence internally?
I mean, the answer is always possibly, right? I think, you know, it's funny. I've spent my entire career in marketing and I've never been somebody that's been very good at self-promotion. Frankly, I've been told a lot of times that it's something you need to work on, right? And it took me a few years to kind of recognize it. And one, I think there's always an underlying fear around, am I going to come off as arrogant or self-promoting or those kind of things? And when it's done wrong, you certainly can, right? I mean, I think we've all worked with that person that spends all day telling you how great they are, and it's a little annoying, right? But
more than a little, yeah.
The other side of this is when you start thinking about perception, right? And harsh reality in the world is perception is reality to the person or persons who hold that perception. Mm-hmm. So when you're not sharing the work and not sharing the wins or sharing the learnings, there is an unintended consequence of it's no news isn't good news, right? No news becomes a question mark, right? So by being proactive and getting out ahead of things, you're actually making a big difference in the value you can drive and just the perception of you as an individual or you as your department as a whole, right? So I think more than anything, it's about getting out and telling stories ahead of time and being part of the conversation.
And one of the benefits of that is that to tell a story, you have to learn a story. I mean, when I think about some of the procurement teams that I've been on or worked with, there's usually some kind of division. So maybe I'm services and other people are products, or maybe I work with this business unit or geography and other people have others. If procurement is connected internally, I don't have to sit down with my group of stakeholders and say, hey, you guys, I'm so great. Guess what I did? I could say, hey, everybody, I have a wonderful procurement success story to share. I didn't personally have anything to do with this. It was my colleague Frank or my colleague Susan in some other part of the business, but it connects to what you're trying to achieve. Yeah. There is a way to market procurement without being, to your point, arrogant, because I do think that turns people off. Nobody ultimately wants to hear that.
No, it's, you know, but I think, again, that comes into storytelling, right? And one of the most effective marketing tools is case studies, right? Nobody wants to be the first group to do something. They want to know, hey, you've put this tool out there, this widget, and here is someone like me that has used it, succeeded with it, et cetera. So if you can pull from those examples and say, hey, my peers that work with engineering accomplished A, B, C, and D, we follow the same process. So if we can more tightly align and you got results A, B, C, and D, what could that mean to your productivity, efficiency, bottom lines, all of those things?
If we're trying to start wrapping some of these storytelling approaches into our work, I mean, one thing I can absolutely say with certainty is that most procurement professionals and teams already have too much to do. Mm-hmm. Is trying to add something like a storytelling approach or a marketing approach going to take a lot of time? Is it something that we can sort of weave in? What type of a time carve out should we try to make? I mean, certainly it seems like it's an effective approach. There are good reasons to do this, but how time consuming does this have to be?
The harsh reality is it doesn't need to be super time consuming, right? So when you start breaking this down, it's what I hope you take away from this is not what you should be doing, but it's how you should be doing it. Because theoretically, you're probably doing a lot of these things inadvertently. And what marketers, I think, have done pretty well over the time and by nature, and what they should do is they've made this part of their process. They've made this part of their operating rhythm, right? Yeah. So when you start thinking about, you know, what you set out to do as a procurement professional, you theoretically should have already done the why, how, what. You just haven't put it in that story. So that all should be on the front end for you, right? So just be thinking as you're creating a process, a strategy, going through, you know, whatever executions you are, you've put together that in your brain, why we're doing this, how we're doing it, what we expect to accomplish from it. So then your story's already told, right? So you don't have to come up with 50 slides and a bunch of stuff to go tell it. It's just about how you do it. So then you're just really measuring the results and then going a layer deeper and sharing what the results mean, right? I could go and present to a bunch of procurement professionals tomorrow and talk conversion rates, MQLs, SQLs, pipeline driven, and I'd be talking, you know, Greek to them, right?
So I was going to say, can you feel the blank stare coming through the audio?
So a couple of things happen when you tell that why, how, what. You've now started to make the data make sense inadvertently, and then you can start saying the numbers, right? We saw an increase of 10% here. We saw a decrease of this, et cetera, whatever those may be. And you spend less time getting into the nitty gritty behind the numbers.
Yeah.
Then you pivot to why this matters and what you can get from it, right? So it actually can come back, and by preparing your story before you ever present it, you can actually make this happen a whole lot faster.
So I can see where using storytelling can not just make procurement look like a hero, but actually position everybody involved in procurement's initiatives for success. But not every story has a happy ending, Alex.
Yeah.
Can storytelling be an effective approach when either we don't know truly what the outcome is going to be, or when we know something has already gone wrong?
Yeah, so I think this is a great topic to cover. It could probably be its own topic and cover for hours, but nothing goes right 100% of the time, right? And frankly, your leadership doesn't expect everything to go right 100% of the time, right? So what they're looking for when you start presenting things, right, is what happened, what did you learn as a result of it, and what are you doing to prevent it in the future, right? So your story, it's okay to start with the why, how, what, right? And the what may be a bad news story, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a couple things. It's coming down and saying, hey, because we learned this happened, here's what we discovered, right? Here's what we're going to change. So in my case, I remember I ran a campaign, you know, one time where we spent a lot of money, we got a ton of leads, but we didn't see it convert into pipeline, right? So, and it was a pipeline driver, right? It was not supposed to be a just awareness thing, right? So it was pretty decent fail. So, you know, we had to tell the story of, hey, here's why we did it, how we did it, et cetera. We broke down the data and, you know, we found some answers into why we think it didn't work. And if in our case, it was that we were not following up long enough with the leads, right? These leads didn't have the familiarity with us that we were maybe accustomed to with other leads because we had done some work with an outside party to help garner them. So we kind of messed up the middle part of that lifecycle journey. And then by not continuing through far enough at the end, we missed the mark. So the story we told was we discovered it's not the channel, it's not the buyer, it's not the content, it was how we followed up. So here's the adjustments we've made to the follow-up. Here are the pieces we've put in place to make a better connection between what they engaged with, our brand, our value, and then drive that home. Here's what we're going to do differently next time. And here are how we're going to measure it down the line. And with that, a couple of things happened. One, the leader said, okay, a marketing campaign that didn't work. That happens all the time. But I took out 90% of their questions by how I told the story.
Yeah.
Because what they're really looking for, you know, is how are you adjusting? What are you learning? What corners are you looking around? And can I trust that you have this to fix the next time? Right. You know, and that's more important than anything else as you go through these efforts. Don't be afraid to tell bad news.
Yeah.
But tell quick. Bad news doesn't get better with age. And tell why, how, what you're doing differently. Right.
Well, and I think it connects back to one of the things you said earlier, that if you leave a blank, people are going to fill it in with something. And you could even have executives thinking, do they know this didn't go well? Like, have they thought about this at all? Whereas if you hey, this didn't go well, but let's talk about why. Let's talk about what we learned, what we're changing for the future. At least they're not thinking, we threw all this money out the window. Is this team even reflecting back on the fact that we didn't achieve our objectives? Don't leave that blank. Sort of fill the space with a, at least a controlled message. Yep. And it may not be the most fun conversation you have all week or month or year, but it will at least be a constructive one where you've had some amount of control over the narrative.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head, right? It's controlling the narrative, right? And it's and more than controlling the narrative, it's just about being proactive, right? And, you know, it's no different than, you know, when you're a kid and you, you know, are hitting your baseball around the front yard and you shouldn't have been and you hit your dad's car with it, right? Would you rather tell your dad, hey, I hit the car versus your dad ask the question of, why is there a giant dent on my fender? Right. Why are there seams in it? Right.
Yeah.
It was you. Right. So it's all about getting ahead of things right now. In that case, I was doing something dumb and shouldn't have been playing baseball where I was, but, you know,
but you apparently learned a lesson from it that is still resonating for you all these years later.
For the record, I told him right away. you know, the point is nothing's going to go flawlessly. Right. And, whether we want to admit it or not, nobody knows that better than your leadership because they've all stubbed their toe a number of times and they struggle with as much as we do. It's all about how you adjust to it, how you tell that story, and how you demonstrate that we're not going to do it again, right? You know, it's the old, I think it was the Henry Ford story about the guy who made a colossal like $100,000 mistake down the, on the Model T assembly line. And the board couldn't figure out why they weren't firing that guy. And Henry Ford said, there's only one person in the world I can trust is never going to make that mistake again.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it's just, it's about kind of accepting that, hey, you're going to mess up. You're going to make a mistake. It's learning from it and demonstrating that how and what you've learned from it.
Yeah. Now, Alex, before I let you go, we have a tradition here at the Sourcing Hero podcast that I want to bring you into. This is your official initiation into the club. I'm going to give you two questions. Okay. You can answer either one, and there are no wrong answers. So your choices are, what does the idea of a sourcing hero mean to you? Or what do you think heroism looks like in a business context?
Ooh, those are two great questions. I'm going to take the latter, right? Of what does heroism in a business context look like? And I think it comes down to doing the little things right. You know, I think everybody wants to go out and, you know, have that massive story, right? You know, you and I were talking about the Super Bowl a little bit before we jumped on, for example. And, you know, I think sports is a great analogy for life, right? Mm-hmm. And football's a great example, right? It's 11 people doing 11 right things at the right time, right? So I think a lot of times heroism is knowing what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, and pick those times to go and take that big risk, right? But it's being someone that the person next to you can trust, rely on, is an expert in what they're doing, and is always looking to get a little bit better every day.
Well, this has been an exceptionally interesting conversation, Alex. I think there's a ton in this that Brakeren can start putting into practice immediately in small ways first, to your point about heroism, and then into big, more meaningful ways longer term. If people have listened to this conversation and want to connect with you, maybe they want to talk about the Super Bowl, or maybe they want to talk about MQLs and SQLs and storytelling, what is the best way for them to get in touch?
Yeah, just hit me up on LinkedIn. It's Alex Ball. I think my Alex C. Ball, I believe, is my URL extension. I'm obviously connected with Kelly, so if you see that connection, you know it's the right one. that's a great way to reach out to me. I'd love to chat further. And I'm a marketing nerd at heart, so if you ever have any marketing questions or just say, hey, here's how I put together this story. Does this resonate? I'm happy to help you out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with me today, Alex.
No, awesome. Well, thank you very much, Kelly. I really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to sit down and chat with you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sourcing Hero podcast. Join us again next time for more true stories of sourcing and business heroism performed by your colleagues and peers. Look for the Sourcing Hero wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe.
Finally, don't forget, sourcing heroism is taking place all around us every day. Keep your eyes open and you're bound to see it. Until next time, I'm your host, Kelly Barner. Stay well and always remember that you can be a hero too.